My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
And recorded either like the iPad or the way people watch film now is almost everybody's got this software and it either goes to an iPad or a laptop. And everybody's watching on that. It looks to me like somebody took their phone out and filmed the practice clip. But we've got a young defensive tackle that goes full Myles Garrett, rips the helmet off of the offensive lineman, and unlike Myles Garrett, connected. Because I do wonder, like, if Myles Garrett would have connected with Mason Rudolph, is Mason still with us today?
No, I don't think so.
I don't like this. Unbelievable clip.
How did it get out?
My suspicion on this is always probably on this one. If you made me start, where would I go with? It starts with somebody like on the TV or on the video staff takes the video, sends it maybe to a couple of buddies, like, get a load of this. And then it eventually makes its way to the internet somehow, some way.
Yeah.
Like, that's the way it always makes its way. The other option is, I don't think the offensive lineman, but if I know offensive linemen like I think I do, there's no unit, in my opinion, on a football team that's more connected. Like, they all stand up for one another. You could talk me into offensive lineman takes the video and wants it out there because they're either taken up for their boy or they got a problem with the defensive lineman.
This is when you need Gabe Kuhn in the
correct
here.
The great thing is you got him from 4-7.
Yes.
You 100% have him from 4-7. So that was an all-time video. See if you can go check it out because it is the full Myles Garrett swing except connects. I mean, lineman goes down like to a knee immediately.
We don't know how that lineman is.
We do not.
Wow.
I've not seen an update. Mm-hmm. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, Tim Murray joins the program. We'll talk some college football with him next, right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, 3-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
At one, Tim Murray. Tim, are you going to make your way to Pitbull Stadium?
Mr. 305. Mr. Worldwide.
I thought there would be something worldwide in it.
Well, I did see this, which is kind of the ultimate buzzkill. Let me see if I can pull up this tweet. I imagine you saw it, but Stu Mandel did kind of rain on our parade a little bit, where it's not
By the way, can we agree, no one in the business better at raining on parades than him.
But he did point this out. It's Pitbull Stadium, but they also sold the naming rights to the field to a Kia dealership.
Love
so the
it.
Full name of FIU Stadium is South Dade Kia Field at Pitbull Stadium.
So my interpretation of that would be, though, that South Kia is paying more than $1.2 million, right? Shouldn't it be Pitbull Stadium? Like, I think he should go first, right? If he's paying the most.
I would think so, right?
But it is weird. That's how we announce when you have a field named. We always say the field. Because, like, at MUS, we have Stokes Stadium, which is the name of the actual stadium. But we have Holdops Field. So I always say Holdops Field at Stokes Stadium.
Liberty Bowl's Rex Dockery.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I don't feel like we moniker that as much.
No.
I will say, like, good for... I think this is a win for Mike McIntyre. He might not have the worst job in FBS anymore. Might be like the second or third.
I mean, they got that cash coming in, man. That's big. That's important. You got to... I don't know if any recruit out there is be like, well, now that they're Pitbull Stadium, I'm going to go to FIU.
Well, that's the other thing I was thinking of. I think that money can't go to NIL, right?
I think it goes to, like, facilities and stuff like that. But that's important, right? You need that type of stuff, and... Maybe you don't need to go get your butt kicked and pay games, but hey, in college athletics, especially at that level, you'll take any money that you can get when it's an arms race, and at least you got, hey, we're talking about it in Memphis. I mentioned it on my show last night. Like, it's doing its job, what it's supposed to do, right?
Well, because, like, I am serious about this. You know, like, everyone's too busy ranking. What's the best job in college football? What's the worst job? New Mexico State?
It's hard for me to answer because it used to be like Idaho, right? Because that was in the middle of nowhere, but they moved to FCS and they're actually doing decently at the FCS level.
It's almost like where they should have been all along.
I mean, how bad is UMass's job? Did it get better? Because this is some really nitty gritty stuff here, but UMass is going to the MAC. Is that, after this year, is there stability now that they're going? I mean, they haven't won. So last year they won three games, and that was the first time they won three games in like 6 years. I don't know if they've ever been to a bowl game in the FBS ranks.
So the thing about UMass, though, is UMass is not actually trying
to... There's no talent up there.
Well, they're not even trying to be competitive. They're basically using their football program as like an ATM. Like, they're just... Their job is to get bye games. Like, and so, like, at least, like, with UConn, UConn can still schedule enough wins to where it can be, like, because I would think, like, they're kind of similar type jobs now, but UConn can still schedule enough to where, you know, we saw more. They got them to a bowl game. But, like, I do think FIU is very much in the conversation. The sure. only difference FIU has is that by being in South Florida, there's at least the thought that you have access to talent.
Yeah, I think anyone in the conference USA, not anyone, because Liberty has a ton of. Actually, I'll go to the MAC. I've been told Kent State's job is really bad.
Kent State's bad. New Mexico State is bad.
They have no money. They have, you know, they're the, what, sixth in line in Ohio. Yeah, New Mexico State, I think from a recruiting standpoint, you don't have much. Look, I'll say it, man. My guy Timmy Chang out there in Hawaii, that's a brutal job.
Well, they're playing in a parking lot.
Right, so it's like you play at a practice facility, you've got no money. I mean, the fact that they haven't been to a bowl game in a couple of years, but, I mean, what June Jones was able to do for those years, and it's pretty impressive. And I think they'll be better this year. I think they've got a chance to go to a bowl game this year, but...
All right, I'm trying to figure out... I need Mark to send me the link to... USA Today, Gannett, they now... put the freaking coaches' salaries on behind the paywall. And it's like, I subscribe to our Gannett paper, but that doesn't get me access to that actual thing. It's like, I pay for Gannett. Like, it's so, so frustrating. It's like, I feel like though a way where you might be able to do this, like, who's getting paid the least, right? Because that overall just shows you who cares the least, right?
For the most part, yeah, you're right. But then you got to, like, the things that we don't know are, like, the inner workings of athletic departments. And, like, I know it's not the worst job, but, like, San Jose State, I know, is a really challenging job from, they're in the Mountain West, so they're expected to do well, but it's kind of a commuter school. They've done better. They have a pretty good athletic department, and I think they're kind of figuring things out from a funding standpoint. But, yeah, it's... That is a fun question to ask. It'll make a lot of people upset. it'll hurt a lot of feelings. But, yeah, I think you're either looking at a MAC school or a CUSA school. I think New Mexico State's a good one. I would still contend UMass is up there, but maybe they don't care. And then, yeah, I think when Sean Lewis left Kent State, it's gonna be a long time before Kent State is doing anything on a regular.
Okay, so this is last year's. Do you know, if you had to guess, so – the private schools are not listed.
Right.
This is one we should probably put on the list. Do you know who the lowest paid coach was last year? I'll give you a hint. He's had other big jobs and wears a tie.
Jim Mora?
Terry Bowden.
Oh.
At La Monroe, correct. $435,000.
That's a bad job.
That's an SEC position coach, right?
Yeah,
salary, give or take?
Yeah.
Scott Loeffler. So Kenny Burns was next at Kent State. The bottom, let's see, four of the bottom five are all MAC schools, to your point. Jerry Kill was at 113. We're sniffing around it. It's either a MAC school or New Mexico State.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah, I mean, that's what everybody comes for. Like, yeah, listen, you can debate best jobs all you want, but I guess let's start here. How much did you care when we got the top 25, the coaches poll?
Zero.
Isn't it funny now that I feel like everybody's kind of trained that, like, I was mentioning on the show that used to be like a day. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you'd lead like SportsCenter with the countdown. Now it's just kind of like everybody just kind of brushes off. Like, I don't even for college football, like, I don't even feel like I got, like, fake outrage. I didn't even see a ton of it.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've gotten to the point where we, the football collective, have recognized these rankings. At the best, they're just talking points, right? Like, they no longer mean anything. You get the tweet from the programs out there, hey, we got ranked eighth, you know, in the coaches poll to try to, you know, get the alumni base fired up. But, Yeah, I mean, for the most part, it means it. I mean, it doesn't. It's not for the most part. It does mean nothing. The only thing it is interesting is, correct me if I'm wrong, Memphis was ranked.
So they were fifth in others receiving, but they were the highest. They received the most votes of the G5 schools.
I think that is something that is worth noting, that in the eyes of the preconceived notion is that Memphis is the best G5 program heading into this year, and that matters, I think, some. And, you know, we've talked about it, especially when you think about who's going to get the G5 bid to the playoff, where you've got Boise from the Mountain West, kind of they are, I believe, has the shortest odds from a Vegas standpoint to make the college football playoff of all the G5 teams. You've got Memphis, you've got Liberty, you know, and then, yeah, you'll have other teams too. You'll have, you know, UTSA, et cetera. But that's interesting to note that, you know, Memphis is the highest ranked of the G5 teams heading into this year.
Well, the other thing, though, that I find fascinating, is this because we're smarter sports fans, or is the reality the college football playoff rankings are what matters? So therefore, who cares? Like, is that, like, I'm trying to figure out, like, why it feels like it's so diminished.
The preseason poll?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think it's because we know that those rankings mean nothing. Like, if it was the college football playoff rankings, which would be silly, but if it was the college football playoff rankings, then it would be, you know, that would be interesting to note, right?
I think so, but, like, there's no way they could get away with that, right?
No, of course not. And I wouldn't want them to do that. That would be, even though they say we don't look at preseason rankings, they do, but they I think have done a pretty decent job of when they post those rankings, whenever it is that, you know, it's in, you know, decent time.
Would you rather hold a Boise plus 400? I think you have it at better odds, but would you rather hold a Boise plus 400 ticket to make the playoff or a Memphis plus 600?
I would rather do Boise, and it's not anti-Memphis. It's just the schedule, man. Like, I look at Boise's schedule. I think outside of Oregon, they're going to be a decent-sized favorite in, I think, every single game. And for Memphis, here's the thing with Memphis versus Boise State, where if they both went undefeated, which won't happen, but that would be a fascinating discussion. Maybe both get in, as crazy as that sounds, because they would both beat perennial top 15 teams. Boise State would beat Oregon, and Florida State would beat Memphis. But let's just say they both lose their...
Oh, my God. Literally, could you imagine? Sankey would be on the phone the next day. Like, yeah. We would have a new playoff.
Dude, if Memphis and Boise State both went undefeated, they're not both getting left out.
I mean, that actually might lead to Sankey and Petiti actually starting the merger.
But for Memphis, a team that the bettors that I've talked to, they have Memphis and Boise kind of power rated in that similar range, right? So they're on the, let's just say for argument's sake, they're equal. Memphis has to go to Florida State, has to go to UTSA, has to go to Tulane, and has to, I believe, go. Do they go to USF or they
yes.
don't play yet?
Their four toughest games are on the road.
Right.
So, on paper, at least. The presumptive four toughest games.
Right. So the schedule is pretty challenging. For Boise State, they have to go to Oregon, which they will lose. And Oregon is better than Florida State. So you could argue that Memphis has a better chance to pull off that win. But then you look at Boise State's schedule. They do have to come to UNLV, who is arguably the second best team in the conference, on a Friday night. But there'll be plenty of Boise State folks here. And then they get both Washington State and Oregon State at home, which I believe are their two next best competition. They do play Wyoming. I just think from a scheduling standpoint, if we're agreeing that Boise and Memphis are equal, I would rather go Boise just because I think their path to the playoff is much easier when they don't play Fresno State, you know, and they, in theory, would get to host the conference championship game, where Memphis now, if they were to trip up there. So I would probably rather go 4-1 on Boise than Memphis.
I guess the counter could be, even though they don't play Fresno, although Fresno is going to have questions as well, like, likely whoever Memphis is likely going to beat whoever their toughest competition is, and they're going to get the title game at home. It's possible that Boise, you know, like, I guess they still do the home game, right, for the title game, Mountain West?
Yeah.
But, I mean, theoretically, right, they could go, if they're undefeated, they could play another undefeated team technically on the road, right?
Yes.
But, like, I that's kind of the real question. What do you think, top to bottom is a better league?
The AAC.
I think it's still...
Yeah, I think this year. I think UNLV's good. I think Fresno State takes a decent hit with the loss of Jeff Tedford, their head coach, as he retired. And I think when I look at UTSA, Tulane, even though, of course, they lost Fritz, but they bring in Summerall from Troy, and then you add in USF, who I think is going to be a really tricky team this year. I think the top portion of the AAC is better than the top portion of the Mountain West this year. Unless you include Washington and Oregon State, and you could argue that those two teams are going to be pretty decent, but they both go to Boise. I mean, Boise gets both of those games at home.
I thought Oregon State's, like, decimated. I thought Wazoo could be okay, but I thought...
Washington State should be better than Oregon State, but I don't think Oregon State's going to be awful. I think they'll be worse. Like, Oregon State was a preseason top 15 team last year. They ain't going to be anywhere near that, but I think they'll be on the same par as that.
Yeah, I think you're right in the end, but like now...
I think it's close, and I don't have a dog in the fight, so I don't have a bet on either one of those. So, you know, the fact that I do this show every week with you, I'm going to be pulling for Memphis, unless I get a regular spot in Boise. Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be really... I think the two biggest things that I'm most intrigued to watch this year are the G5 jockeying for position, knowing that it's not just a bowl game, it's a shot at an opportunity to win a national championship, which they've never had before. Oh, I guess Cincinnati made the playoff. And then the Big 12. I think the Big 12 is so intriguing this year because the parity in that conference is second to none. I mean, you can argue, I think we talked about this a couple weeks ago when I was co-hosting with you, which was, I think that conference, you could make, like, I'm not saying that all 10 of these teams are going to be great, but you could make like an educated argument on 10 teams to win that conference.
Leaving out Baylor and
Houston.
Yeah.
Houston, Cincinnati. There's 16 teams in the Big 12 because numbers make sense.
Are there still now? I thought now that...
No, they added four more.
So I thought
they were at 12 last year.
Right, but I think they're at 14 now, right? Because I think they lost two, added four, right?
Because
you lose Texas and OU.
Hold on, I'm doing the math here. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16. Arizona State, Arizona, BYU, Baylor.
No, you're right. So they lost two, and then they add Cincinnati, UCF, Houston. Yeah, you're right. They're at 16.
Yeah, so they added four more this year, right? Arizona State, Arizona, Utah, and Colorado. Teams who can't win the conference, Arizona State, BYU, Baylor, Cincinnati, Colorado, Houston, and maybe West Virginia. I think everyone else has a shot to win the conference.
I think West Virginia thinks they're quietly pretty good.
I know.
Okay, what happens in this scenario, though? Let's say Florida State. Let's say Memphis loses to Florida State. They run their table. They're 12-1 conference champion. Boise loses to Oregon, and let's say they're both like whatever 17-point losses. But no one. You can't hang your hat on quality loss. They both have the same type of loss.
Okay.
What do you think they're doing if they're both 12-1 champs?
I think Memphis. I think they would go Memphis.
Part of me wonders, does brand matter?
Yeah, I mean, Boise State's a bigger brand. I think there's definitely that, and I've heard people talk about that. I think it would be Memphis. I'm not saying that with absolute certainty, because does that Washington State-Oregon State game help how good is UNLV? Does UNLV go out and beat Kansas and Houston? Are they 2-0 against, you know, Power Four teams? And then, I mean, it all gets into the weeds. But looking at where we're at right now, if both teams went 12-1 and their lone losses were on the road to conference champions, I think I would give the edge to Memphis.
All right, hear me out. See if you agree with this. I think I'm talking this out. So Boise plays Oregon week two, correct?
Yes.
Memphis plays Florida State week three. If we're saying they're both taking similar losses, the question then becomes who gets ranked first? Right? You following me? Because so Memphis's path, like this is where I think Memphis is kind of up it a little bit. All right, they play at Navy, and you and I both believe Navy's not any good.
Yeah, but that's going to be an annoying game.
Right, it's always an annoying game.
That's a letdown of all letdown spots.
Well, one year, Ryan Silverfield took a team to Starkville and had been practicing for Navy.
I hope they are. Meaning.
Just saying, I could take a team to Tallahassee and have...
I'll say that if they both lose their game, who gets ranked first? Memphis would have a win over Troy, and then they would have a win at USF.
Yep.
I would say Memphis gets ranked first. I would say Boise State doesn't get ranked until they beat UNLV on a Friday night in Vegas on October 25th.
So then I think you're right. If you play it out that way, to me, like that's because in the end, they're going to have... They would have to justify jumping Boise over Memphis, and there's really nothing that you would say unless they are saying the opposite of what we're saying is they just believe the Mountain West is a better league.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'd throw out one other thing that interests me. Is the ACC going to get multiple teams?
Yes, I think so. I think it'll be close, but I think they get like the 10th or 11th seed. I think it's the loser of the ACC championship. There's no more divisions. I'm a little higher on Clemson than most people are. Miami does have talent.
On Clemson. I just can't get out of my mind that Georgia always in that game flexes. And, yeah.
It's super early.
But it cost Oregon, remember?
Yeah.
Because it was a 14 playoff.
But it's not, it's not 12. I'll say that. The ACC, I got to do the math in my head. So we know it's 5 auto bids. It's kind of what you think of Notre Dame. Or is Notre Dame going to make the playoff this year? Their odds would tell you yes. They're minus 180 to make the playoff. So if we say Notre Dame makes it, then how many SEC teams are we looking at? If we say...
If Notre Dame makes it, I think you're looking at 4.
Okay, so that's... 4 plus Notre Dame, well, 3 plus Notre Dame, so that's what, 8 now? Am I looking at 8?
So we've got our 5 autos. We have Notre Dame, which is 6,
and 3 then 4 SECs.
I'm saying 4 SEC.
So you're saying 4 at large SEC or 4 total?
4 total.
Right? Okay, so 3 more SECs.
Yeah, 3 more. So now that you're right, that gets us to 9, and then at least 3 Big Ten. That gets us.
I think we're at least 2 Big Ten. I think it's Oregon, Ohio State, Penn State, and then I don't know if I'm convinced anybody else. Michigan's schedule's really challenging. I think
are they going to be eligible?
Yeah. I mean, I think if we do 4 SEC, 3 Big Ten, that's 7. Notre Dame, that's 8. G5, that's 9. Big 12, that's 10. And then you've got ACC maybe for 2. I think that would be the standard math play there. But maybe we get 4 Big Ten teams. I mean, you know, if Iowa gets in. But I'll say as of today, with strong conviction, that it is that it's 2 ACC teams.
All right, we'll close here. How big of a loss is CJ Baxter for Texas?
I think he's a decent-sized loss, man. I mean, he's a huge recruit. He ran for, 650 yards a year ago, so... I know that they've got talent on that roster, but, you know, we were talking about, I led my podcast with the injury to Notre Dame on their offensive line, yeah. And that's a big loss. I think this might be bigger. I mean, this is a pretty big player. Sark can scheme it up, though. So, but, it's significant, man. I always had my doubts on on Texas a little bit heading into all of this, you know?
Yeah, it is weird how we've gone from always doubting to Texas to somehow we just blindly started giving them the benefit of the doubt. You know, like it's almost like it switched quickly. And I think part of it is roster, but at the same time, it's like, you know, they were a couple of squirrely plays away. I mean, I still have no idea how they lost to Washington. Well, I do because their secondary was garbage, and they got no pass rush.
Yeah, they let Michael Penix throw bombs over them.
All right, buddy, we appreciate it.
All right, man, talk to you next week.
That is Tim Murray of VSiN. When we come back, Hard Knocks debuted last night, season premiere. I'll tell you some of the highlights. Also, get into a little bit more from the NFL. We'll do that next, right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Okay, so last night, Hard Knocks, and Phil, I always feel like Hard Knocks to me, if we're using a football metaphor, it's the chopping the play clock of waiting for football season. Like, to me, we've added a few things recently. The quarterback was really good, and I think we got that before Hard Knocks. But to me, it's like the official start of waiting for football season is when we get episode one of Hard Knocks.
Are you still as big a fan as when it debuted?
No. I will say, though, I don't think that's Hard Knocks' problem. I think that's the NFL's problem. So what I've noticed recently is that almost with the exception of, like, I'm trying to remember, there was one that was pretty boring in general. The Cleveland one was still interesting because you still had, like, you had dynamics with Haley, with Greg Williams, Baker, and Hugh Jackson. Like, you could just tell, like, oh, this guy's an idiot, and he's the head coach, so this is going to be... But that was still enough to kind of sustain you for a while. But for the most part, the way that Hard Knocks typically goes now is the beginning is usually very good because you're just starting training camp and football coaches haven't gone full paranoia. And so as you get closer to the start of the season, the access gets worse and worse and worse. But there's no question, it's not even a nostalgia thing. If you just put them side by side, the early seasons are significantly better than the newer seasons simply because the NFL, like, they got full access. And now there's been griping from owners and coaches, and they can greatly limit what you see. And so that's in the end. I mean, think about it now. One of the, like, most captivating and, like, yeah, it's heartbreaking to a certain degree, but, like, they're even hesitant now to, like, show the classic bring your playbook. You've been cut. Like, it's, and, like, so now you lose the authenticity of, like, part of what made it so good was it was like complete reality. Like, they really weren't spinning it. But we got the quick establishing shot that lets you know Hard Knocks is the absolute better. HBO is the best at it. They were filming sprinkler heads, and it's still captivating. You put that NFL music under it, and it's like, oh, my God, this is amazing.
That's what I was going to ask you. Some access is better than none.
Correct. And it's still – and I think the other thing that starts to – that's as it loses steam, we also have more and more preseason game. Like, there's more football to consume, and so you've got more to kind of scratch the itch. But this, I thought, overall, two thumbs up. So we did not get our signature Hard Knocks start where they would either start with quarterback's hot girlfriend or hot wife. We did not get that establishing. We just started with hot quarterback. So we start with Caleb Williams. They let you know right off the bat, like, it's going to be all about him. And that's, to me, if this is going to maintain the steam, it's going to be, are they going to keep allowing access to him?
I've seen him. I mean, obviously he's being promoted on NFL Network, too. I see him. I mean, he's the guy they're putting out front. So, yeah, as long as they have a storyline to sell.
As long as they keep, like, so I think you can make the argument the best Hard Knocks that we've seen of the last 5 to 10 years, it's last year with the Jets, and it's only for one reason. Even though I don't think it was authentic, it was the world according to Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
And that is still fascinating. It's the same reason, like, I don't like that we call The Last Dance a documentary, because it's not a documentary. It's the world according to Michael Jordan, which is fascinating.
Right.
And that's entertaining, and that's what we want to watch.
You still get inside.
Correct.
Look, I mean, to me, that was...
Correct. It's the behind the scenes. It's what... But in my opinion, that's not a straight documentary.
No,
like, that was not trying to get... No one was working to get the Krause side of things.
No, but you still got the Tony Kukoc stuff in there.
Well, it's because, yet again, it's the world according to Michael Jordan.
It is.
He's the ultimate grudge guy.
Yeah.
And so what sustained Hard Knocks last year is Rodgers has still never seen a microphone that he won't talk into.
Yeah.
And so that kept it fascinating. So we get a couple of surprises. Number one, it appears Eberflus's wife is taking credit for his glow up. And we also got a scene of, like, watching him get his hair done. That was fascinating. I'm very iffy on him. I think the most gripping part of it, and somehow I didn't know this, and that's obviously got to be on me. So Matt Eberflus's story is recruited by Nick Saban, I think when Nick was a defensive assistant at Toledo, and then when Nick got the head job at Toledo, played for him, was his captain. And so Nick comes in, and it felt a little, I think a conversation like what we saw happened, but it felt like what we were watching was a take. Like, it still felt a little like, hey, we didn't get that on film. Can y'all do this? And I think it's very interesting to see Saban at this part of his career. Because you can tell me Belichick does want to coach again. I truly believe, like, he's done. Like, it feels like his now mission in life is to, like, disperse as much football and football information in the as many breaths as he has left. Like, he is going to be dispersing football.
On ESPN.
Or
what?
An NFL. Like, yeah. I think it's just, like, he's just, like, he was basically, it was fascinating because Eberflus is talking like how the basic fundamental conversation is, how do I need to handle this quarterback? And Nick made an interesting point. In public, or in practice and whatnot, not public in the sense of like at the podium, but he's like, I made a habit of it to not, when we had team stuff, to not go after my quarterback. It's like I'd stand behind him, I would say, I want to know what you're seeing, and we'd talk it out that way. I would not coach him hard in practice in front of everyone. I'd meet with him, and that's when I would go after him. And I thought that was interesting because he certainly doesn't coach DBs that way. He is very much hands-on and very willing to be hypercritical. But that was fascinating. We also got, there was a great, they got the Bulls PA announcer from the heyday of the Jordan era to cut a introduction of Caleb Williams over Alan Parsons Project Serious, the Bulls walkout song. That was pretty good. I think really the other big highlights were Canadian offensive linemen. When they do the whole rookie, I don't know how we decided you can't haze, but right, we can still make people sing karaoke. Like, I mean, I get it. Like, I don't personally care one way or the other. But the guy that stole the show was a free agent rookie from Canada that was singing Lee Greenwood's I'm Proud to Be an American. And right when he gets to the chorus, like the first chorus, he rips off his shorts and he's got a bald eagle Speedo. And it brought the house down. Oh, he also... Also, it's twofold. One, it's cheating. Fat guy singing, always funny.
Yep.
Fat guy taking shirt off, always funny.
Yep.
And then he had a buddy play, like, toy cymbals, like, to the music. That got a big laugh out of everyone. We also got to see DJ Moore get his extension. I know you find this hard to believe, Phil. Drew Rosenhaus found a camera.
Oh.
He found a way to get some screen time. Could not believe it. It's the first time Rosenhaus has ever found a camera, found a way to get camera time. I weirdly think the person that came across to me as I would bet on that guy's future was Ryan Poles, the GM. Everything he does comes across as competent.
Mm-hmm.
And The other thing that really stood out was somehow Kevin Warren, former Big Ten commissioner, who's just an he's a proven no mind. Like, I don't know how this guy keeps getting like big time jobs. Like, he walks in and he's like trying. He's now the president of the Bears, and Poles is like, "Here's what I'm doing," and he's like walking through Poles. It was almost like he was trying to kind of find a way to take credit for it. I think that's how guys like him stay in jobs like that. They find ways to take credit for something he had nothing to do with. But Poles came across as super competent. He's like, all right, here's the deal. DJ is out of guaranteed money. Basically what he's saying is like, we have 4 years with Caleb on the cheap deal. Like, let's pay him now.
Yeah.
And then in the middle of, like, he calls, he radioed down to, I assume, like an equipment guy or some staffer. He's like, hey, discreetly let coach know during special teams, tell DJ to come up. They signed his contract like during practice. I thought that was a great moment. Let's see. What were the other highlights? We also got the who's gonna get the last quarterback role. Austin Reed, the former Western Kentucky guy that anyone that's watched CUSA football knows, like, that guy can spin it. We got the heartbreaking moment of, like, it was his turn to go in and play in the preseason game and kind of had him on the move, and then the lightning came down. And you could tell everyone there was ready to cancel that game. And he, like, watching him be devastated, that's always a tough one. But there was this great moment. The official comes in and tells Eberflus, hey, you know, we're canceling it. We've known we were canceling it. We just want ESPN to be happy and have a little extra, like, time with the NFL.
Yeah.
And then I think the other big highlight that we saw, Simone Biles' husband, watching. I felt like the footage that we got of him in Paris was the footage that we all saw. Like, so whatever we saw from NBC, or we got that footage. But we got a FaceTime with Simone. It was hilarious. She's like, hey, are you checking a bag? And he's like, no, I'm taking a carry-on. She's like, just so you know, in Europe, like, it doesn't work like it does here. Like, they'll take your toothpaste, and if it's not over 3.5 ounces, he's like, so they could, like, take my cologne? And, like, she, like, her walking him through, like, because I guess it was, like, either his first Europe time or one up, and she's like, make sure you have your passport. She's like, oh, my God, he's having the same conversation we all have, except Simone Biles is telling him this, and so it's like, that can't really talk back there. Like, you can't do that. I got it. Like, you have to sit there and acknowledge it. But then we got a cool scene of him watching her. So he didn't stay for the whole Olympics. Like, it seemed like through the team stuff. And then he comes back watching the floor, watching, like, his immediate reaction when she fell off the beam and the floor. So that was fun. The only big negative I had is we didn't get the next week on Hard Knocks. They just ended it.
Oh.
Like, that's the best part's the tease. Got nothing.
This is why this format's going to survive. It gets you
ready for football. Like, that's what it is.
But still, you get some inside stuff that you would
for
normally
sure.
Not. It doesn't matter how much it is. It's just some.
And then we will wildly overreact to the Bears one way or the other. It's going to be an extreme. We're either going to be way too low on the Bears or way too high on the Bears. That's the way it always goes. All right, we take a break. We come back. We'll tell your story next right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, Phil, before we let you get into today's Tell Your Story, Team USA Women still absolutely rolling on as they now lead, I believe it says 78-55, so they will be moving on with about 7 minutes remaining. They'll be moving on to the semifinals. I think, though, for today's Tell Your Story, we got to go with Steve Kerr. Just an unbelievable storyteller. Quote, we can't get lulled to sleep because we beat them twice. We have to be prepared to give, or for their best effort, we've got to think about what they're going to do differently. Jokic, I guess he could play 40 minutes. What else do they have up their sleeve? For those that are keeping track, I believe it is dead even in both games when Jokic is on the floor. I know the first game was 81-81, and I think the last game, if it wasn't, it was remarkably close. I'm still not sure my guy can go all 40. That feels unlikely, but we appreciate Steve Kerr. Can't get lulled to sleep. Gotta be prepared for their best shot. My thanks to Tim Murray for joining the program. If you missed anything, be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For Dennis, for Phil, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show's coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.